Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by Alexander Collette and Anthony McCormick, both of Triumph Combat Academy, right here in Louisville, Kentucky. They're both fighting for LFA 235, which is Friday, June 19th, 2026, at Freedom Hall in Louisville, Kentucky. I appreciate everyone tuning in. If you're a fan of the Kelly Patrick Show, I ask that you please do send some referrals the way my sponsors, in particular, my health insurance practice. MedicareStoreUSA.com. I love Medicare referrals. Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Florida, or Illinois. I can help anyone with health insurance in any of those states under the age of 65, or if someone's Medicare eligible, those are great referrals for me. Also, group health insurance referrals in the state of Kentucky. I personally can do 0 to 50 employees, or I should say 2 to 50 employees for a group health insurance quote. And then when it gets from 50 to 100 person groups, I get my brother involved. For 2 employees all the way up to 100 or 150 employees, through my firm, we can get quotes that are just as competitive as anyone in the state of Kentucky. Send me some referrals. We're doing a ticket giveaway for LFA, thanks to Eddie Donaldson. We have 2 nice tickets to give away to the event, Friday, June 19th, LFA. If you want to enter your name into the ticket drawing, you need to go to the Bittersweet Battles Instagram page, ran by myself and Brandon Bishop. Go to the page, go to any of the photos and comment. You got to mention MedicareStoreUSA.com in the comments and then say, give me the tickets, something like that. On June 5th, we are going to draw 2 names for the ticket giveaway. I want to thank Louisville Combat Academy for their support. They're a longtime sponsor of the Kelly Patrick Show, 7908 Beulah Church Road. They have great 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu kids and adult program. Very strong MMA program led by, of course, Jason Y. Kickboxing classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays taught by Graham Gordon. Also want to thank Matt McCarthy, the producer of the Kelly Patrick Show. He's been with me since I got started doing this back in 2011. Buddy of mine from high school, he runs Veercast Digital Media and LiveSportsCaster.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode. I am joined by 2 fighters from Triumph Combat over on Pop War Level. We got Anthony McCormick.
Yes, sir.
We got Alex Collette.
Appreciate it.
They both have big fights coming up Friday, June 19th, 2026, Freedom Hall, right here in Louisville, Kentucky. You guys are teammates. I'll be honest, I haven't done a ton of scouting on your opponents. I've, of course, seen both of you fight in person, and you know, I've really enjoyed following your careers so far.
I appreciate that.
Before we jump into previewing the upcoming fight for each of you, and also even a little bit of a preview episode for the card, could we revisit? I know you guys have been on before, but could we do a little bit of a reintroduction as to who you guys are? Who would like to go first?
Hit him, man.
All right. My name is Anthony Hollywood McCormick. That's what they all call me. Let's see. I'm 25 years old. I fight out of Louisville, Kentucky. I train at Triumph Combat under Damon Bell. I've been training for about, I'd say, a little over 3 years now. I've been fighting for like the past 2 years. I'm 1-0 professionally as an MMA fighter, and I'm 2-0 professionally as a kickboxer, and I was undefeated as an amateur. So undefeated so far in my fighting career.
Where did you grow up at?
I grew up here in Louisville, Kentucky.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Western, but I dropped out of high school when I was 14.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did not graduate high school.
Did not graduate high school. I got my GED.
BJ Ferguson didn't graduate high school either.
Yeah. Did you get your GED?
Yeah. I got my GED when I was like 19, though. It wasn't like, you know, I got it because I wanted to get a job.
Yeah. Sure. What do you do for work?
Construction.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I've been doing that since I dropped out.
So. Okay. Do you regret dropping out?
Sometimes, but probably not for the right reasons. I regret dropping out, like, for the vibes, you know? I'm like, I should have stayed in high school.
Could have had fun in high school.
Could have had fun. I would have had fun.
A little bit of partying. A little bit of partying you missed out on.
Yeah, definitely.
You didn't seem to shy away from it. You could have just said Western High School. You made sure to throw in that you dropped out at 14.
Yeah.
So you're not ashamed of it.
No, I'm not ashamed. I mean, it's part of my life. Like, okay. Because if you say what high school did you go to, I don't even consider myself going there, you know? Like, the first
14,
year I went.
14's pretty young.
Yeah, the first year I went, I was, like, not even there half the time anyway. I tried to drop out freshman year, and then they're like, nah, you got to go back. And then sophomore year, I was like,
I always like to ask questions like this toward the beginning. What ethnicity are you?
I am white and Mexican.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Although everybody thinks I'm black, so.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Your Mexican side of the family does construction?
No, we're like small here. It's only my mom that's here, honestly. Okay. So, yeah.
But it's easy for you to work construction. You're fluent in Spanish.
Yeah. Se hablar español muy bien and English. So I'm bilingual. I speak both.
You're bilingual. Are you entirely fluent in both?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's not the most common thing.
Yeah. I can read, write. I mean, my writing's not that good in English or Spanish. I can't, you know, I didn't go to school.
You're a high school dropout.
Right. I'm a high school dropout. So.
Let's not get carried away.
Yeah, let's not. You know what I mean? That shit's not going to be the best. But, you know.
All jokes aside, you could be, you know, maybe a construction manager, get into ownership of construction company, something like that at some point, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal.
Being bilingual, that seems like certainly an option.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely helped. I don't get no pay raise for being, you know, for translating on the job, unfortunately, which is kind of gay, but, you know.
You would at Rumpke.
Really?
Yeah, if you can speak two languages at Rumpke, they give you more.
See?
Yeah. Is that where you work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got my CDL, yeah.
Okay. So, okay, interesting. And CDL is to drive
like dump trucks and
okay.
trucks like that.
And
like,
or semis? Not semis.
Semis is one grade above the class I have. So
okay.
I have my CDL-B, semis CDL-A.
Because I heard some people just who drive semis and speak Spanish. My wife's Cuban, so I've heard within the Cuban world, sometimes people who can't speak English are losing their jobs right now.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
They're paying more for guys that can come in and speak both.
Okay, so speaking both is where it's at. That makes sense.
So much quicker. You
okay.
So much quicker.
Okay. I can see the value in that. Okay.
It's a superpower, baby. For real.
Probably good for like, if you, I mean, not saying you do this, but if you were to buy drugs or something.
Yeah, you know.
Doesn't hurt. Yeah, I could see that.
Get them from anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go to Columbia.
You can do
straight
a lot of different
stores.
Hey, I got what you need, man. Shit's easy to get out here. Nah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Anthony, for that reintroduction. Alex,
yes, sir.
If you could, remind the Kelly Patrick Show audience, who are you? Where are you from?
Okay, I got you. Alexander Clydesdale, call it. I'm from here in Louisville, Kentucky. I was born in Harlan, but I've been in Louisville since about the age of 10. Started training in 2021, right after I got kicked out of high school.
Okay.
Yeah, so kind of similar. I started at Fight Factory. I've been at Triumph for the last 2.5 years under Damon Bell, and life's just been great since I've been over at Triumph.
Did you play college football?
I did not play college football.
Okay.
I was going to. That was the initial plan, was to go play college football, and then COVID and my senior year came, and everything just went all out of whack.
What position were you? Where'd you play high school football?
I played everything on the offensive line. I played at Ballard.
Okay.
Ballard High School, yeah.
Were you pretty good?
I was all state, all area. Yeah.
You were all state?
I wouldn't say I was like the best offensive lineman in.
You don't want to sound like a douchebag.
But I was pretty good. I was recruited by
all
the locals, yeah.
You were all state?
Yeah.
Recruited by Louisville?
Yeah. Well, I was. I had a preferred walk-on from Louisville.
Okay. So,
but
that's
I
not,
feel like,
that's
I feel
not
like
nothing.
If I would have played my senior year, they would have given me an offer.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's just.
Was Ballard any good at that time?
I think we went 8-5. We lost to the same team every year twice, Trinity. We lost to them every year two times in a row. We lost to Manuel, and we lost to Mayo.
Okay.
That was the teams we'd lose to every year.
How far away is Harlan?
Harlan is Eastern K. It's probably
I think I commentated, I judged an MMA event at a gym, high school gym in Harlan.
In Harlan?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I didn't commentate.
Yeah,
I judged an event.
I would say it's about 4 hours away. It's like
right before
to Tennessee.
It was a little high school gym.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually have a pretty big high school for like wrestling and basketball.
Okay. That's probably where I was at.
Yeah.
So your family's originally from there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, whole family from Harlan. Just me and my mom and my sister are here in Louisville.
Okay.
I have an uncle over the bridge in Green?
I'm not sure. In Indian.
Green Tree. Around Green Tree. Around
okay.
There.
Like yeah, Clarksville type area. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Clarksville, I think, is what that would be.
You're talking about the Green Tree Mall?
Yeah, Green Tree.
Okay, yeah.
They should burn that thing down.
It's a nice place.
That place sucks. I went there one time like, hey, look, this is a mall. That place is whack.
It's so bad.
I don't even know. You know what keeps that thing thriving? That Texas Roadhouse right there. That's what keeps that thing alive.
That's right in Clarksville, I think. Clarksville has some interesting reputation for crime and different types of drugs and stuff. It does.
Yeah.
Not to say that's your family.
No,
yeah.
You take a drive through a Green Tree Mall and you'll figure out why.
You drive over my Green Tree Mall, you'll see why.
Yeah.
Okay. That's hilarious.
So where should we start with previewing this card? Well, first off, you both get to fight for LFA in front of your hometown crowd.
blessing.
Is there anything you could ask for bigger than that, being a cage fighter?
Being the main event.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
But maybe you get there. This is the way to get to
this
LFA.
Is the way to get there.
LFA doesn't go around handing out main event, you know,
right?
Main events. But if, as far as, you know, building your way up the ladder, this is the type of thing where maybe if you win, get to stick around, fight for them again.
Yeah.
That seems, I mean, arguably about the way to get to the UFC, if there is any, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the pathway right there. Get a win here. If you get a good win, a good finish, you know what I mean? Get signed to LFA, have a few fights for LFA. Yeah. And, I mean, especially for heavyweight, all it takes is like three or four fights. And
I've watched it happen.
Yeah.
The guy I faced 2 years ago, he's about to fight on Dana White Contender Series.
Okay.
He hosted his LFA main event, I think it was like a month ago.
Yeah.
So you can win it. You get a contract for LFA, you win two or three fights, you're on the fast track to the UFC.
Yeah.
Alex, you fought for LFA once before. Tell us about that experience, because you fought on some local promotions, and then I'm guessing that was a little bit of a step up.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a step up, definitely a different type of environment. It was good, though. It was nothing that I felt uncomfortable or anything like that. I was completely comfortable, completely laxed. I didn't feel like I was overly anxious in the cage or anything like that. I was fine. The dude I was fighting that night just happened to get a better shot in, and it didn't go my way. I'm happy he's putting on a show recently. Yeah, it would suck if he didn't do any good.
Right, if he was a bum. Yeah,
that's how it works. Yeah. You lose to somebody,
right?
You know, you hope they go on to be the UFC champ.
Yeah, I took that L, and I wore it on the chin. I went and got two more dubs after that, and then I was like, all right, it's time to start getting paid doing this. So I decided I was going to take my next step going pro, and thankfully LFA was right around the corner coming back to Louisville, so they reached out, and Bell does the best job in the world I'd say a manager could do, so he got me the fight, and I was like, let's do it.
Your opponent is Blake Mitchell. He's 28 years old, 6'1". How tall are you?
6'4".
Okay, so you got a height advantage. He had a 4-2 amateur MMA record.
Yep.
Similar to you, same record you had. He's now 1-0 as a pro. Stylistically, I know you don't want to show your hand too much, or maybe you do. I don't know. Is that something that you care about? What can you tell us tactically about previewing this fight?
I think staying a lot longer than this guy is definitely going to work out in my favor. I think my reach, not only watching his fights and me being 3 inches taller than him, I think my reach is a lot longer than his. I've seen that he did play arena football and stuff like that, so I know he's going to be, like, powerful, and I feel like that probably will come into, like, the same type fighting that he'll have, like a football-style fighter.
Sure. Austin Green, who you're going to spar with, you're going to work with on Sunday. He also played arena football.
Saying, pressure and stuff like that. I didn't get to LFA fights aren't on like YouTube and stuff like that.
That was interesting.
I couldn't really find his fight, but I watched the clip, the finish, and it looked like he was getting pressured on the cage and hit a turnaround and then kneed him, and then the dude like ran off. The dude literally ran away into the corner and he just beat him up.
Damn.
Okay. You mentioned that you couldn't find the footage. Tell us about, because I've heard some people talk about your fight with LFA.
Yeah.
Certain people didn't arrive on time. We didn't know. What was it? Did you get fucked over? I'm not saying that the LFA fucked you over. But what was it that happened? And if you did get fucked over, I mean, now's the time to air that out.
I think they just weren't ready.
Okay.
LFA,
who was it?
They did a very, LFA. When they first had their first show here in 2024 at
Broadbent.
They had it at Broadbent. Indoor. Letting everybody in.
Okay, I was there,
it
actually.
It was awful, dude. Like, I'm talking the line. After my fight, when I walked outside to the car to get, like, ice and stuff like that, the line was still wrapped around the building.
That's the one that Lance Lawrence was the main event. Yeah, I was out there on that line, actually.
I was like, dude, like, my family is, like, damn near in the back of the line, and I had already fought. I was like, this is stupid. But I think they did a good job switching it to Freedom Hall. And now there's a bunch of different entrances, or not entrances, but a bunch of doors with a whole bunch of different security guards checking tickets and stuff like that. So I think it's a lot more efficient now getting everybody.
You didn't decide you don't want to fight for LFA anymore, did you?
No.
I would say no.
As soon as I went to Anthony's show last year when he fought for LFA, I was like, oh, they fixed what they thought they had the first time. And usually shows are like that. When UFC came to Louisville the first time, I'm sure it wasn't like spot on amazing for what they had planned, so I'm sure everything works out differently for everybody. It'll work out good this time. Family will all see it.
So as a heavyweight, I think you touched on that a little bit, Anthony. Being a heavyweight's kind of a unique deal. right? Yeah. A unique weight class where they're always looking for new people, 100%. You know.
They need new talent.
Need new talent.
You get to the UFC with 7 fights as a heavyweight now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7 pro fights. That's all you need. 2 years worth of fights. 1 year if you're Anthony.
is that your game plan?
If I can go out there and win 2 fights this year, win 3 more fights next year, be 5-0, sitting pretty, get a Dana White Contender Series offer.
That's a dream, baby.
That 6-0, you're getting a UFC contract. 100%. I feel that. What is Charlie right now? 5-1?
Yeah.
He's on the Dana White Contender Series.
Yep.
Okay. So, Anthony.
Yes, sir.
As you said that, I do remember now that you fought on the LFA card too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was mixed up. Yeah, that you did. That was a few fights ago.
Yeah.
Man, you've been active since you've jumped into this game.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. I don't know. I won. I did good. And I was like, let's do it again. I won again.
So you've been competing in combat sports for how long exactly?
I guess whenever it says the first.
Yeah, so here it says April of 2024.
Well,
is your first
combat sports is technically jiu-jitsu too. We had more.
Okay, I did do jiu-jitsu for a solid, say, year.
We both started Fight Back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they kind of, you both came in wanting to do MMA, but they were like, you got to do some jiu-jitsu first.
Well,
is that how it worked?
No. Fight Factory is mostly just a jiu-jitsu gym.
Yeah, okay.
So,
I started to lose weight. Yeah. I was like 330 pounds after high school. And I was like, I played football and everything. So I was like husky big in high school. Like I was 310 pounds. But you look at me and be like, all right, that dude's an offensive lineman.
He can move.
He plays offensive line.
Yeah.
But after high school, like literally within 5 to 6 months, it was just all slowly turning into like, oh, this dude's fat. So I was like, I got to find something to do. Luckily, my little brother did combat sports. His name is Brendan Allison. He did combat sports. So he told me to tag along with him to Fight Factory one day. We went in, and Anthony showed up like 2 months later.
Yeah.
It's just.
How do you know Brendan?
Brendan? I've known Brendan since I was a little kid.
Honestly. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I met Brendan in high school. Maybe I was a sophomore, he was a freshman, and my football coach introduced me to him because he used to always be in trouble, and my football coach was the ISAP coach.
Okay.
And that's how we met.
Okay. It's funny, a lot of people who get into combat sports, you know, including myself, I'm not even a fighter, but like, seem to be kind of fuck ups.
Right.
No offense. Yeah, no offense.
You're 100% right.
But thanks, on paper, since April of 2024, Anthony, you have been involving strikes.
Yeah.
Since April of 2024, you've been competing in combat sports with strikes. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And I'm missing one on there.
Okay, so 10 fights in 2
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So across. Yeah.
So you also have fought for different promotions.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Alex about the difference between fighting for a local promotion versus fighting for LFA. What can you tell us about that?
LFA is just like, feels like dreams are coming true. Like for me, there's like no nerves. Like I'm like this, like how we're like this I am in the back. I'm just happy. I'm just like, I just feel blessed to be here. You know, like I grew up in Louisville and like I just never thought that I would fight in a place like that. You know what I mean? So it's just cool.
Different level.
Yeah, different level.
No shade at the local promotions.
No shade.
Different. It's different.
It's just different. Yeah, I mean, just the amount of people, the lights, the big stage you get to come out of, all the fog, my music blasting, you know, like that whole environment. Plus, it's like, hey, where are you fighting? I'm fighting at Freedom Hall. It's a lot different than like, hey, I'm fighting at this school gymnasium.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they got alcohol, they got drinks, they got food, they got... You know what I mean? It's a whole event.
They have banners sometimes where you're driving around downtown. Yeah. You're driving around in the area. You may see yourself advertised. Sometimes they do
Exactly. Like that. Yeah, like on that one building that's downtown, they'll like post it there. They have flyers everywhere. Everywhere you go, it's like, oh, it's LFA. It's like, yeah, I'm fighting on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is kind of cool. And obviously with the local promotions, it's like, I mean, it's not to knock them. I mean, they're local promotions. Yeah. We got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
if not, I'd never get to LFA, you know? Yeah. Although, you know. I was going to be 0-0 when I fought for LFA, which is all Damon Bell, though. All Damon Bell. But I did get one MMA fight in before that, just to test the waters. But I did pretty good.
And that was the fight against Woodruff?
No, that was a fight. I'm talking about my first amateur fight.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, my first amateur
fight. I see. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to fight for them as an 0-0 amateur. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. I do remember that now that you say that.
Yeah.
Why did that not happen?
Because, I was just so active, and Damon's like, we're going to get you another fight.
Okay.
And
okay. So, I see.
Yeah, I actually had two fights before that. Before LFA.
Another
I had a kickboxing fight, and then I had a MMA fight.
I remember because we fought on the same card before your LFA fight in March.
Which was dope. That promotion, it's that a small promotion. Was nice. That promotion was nice. Iron. They do a really good job. It was in like a...
Iron Gerber?
What was it at? Like a hotel, like a convention center.
Yeah, no, right? It was at Muncie Convention Center.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big, it was a good, nice size venue.
Yeah, it was nice, man.
One of those like side venues of like Rep Arena. You know how they have like the side, like Central Bank and stuff like that? It kind of looked like one of those.
Yeah, that was nice. So, I mean, no diss on the local promotions. I mean, Damon Bell owns a promotion. Shout out Only Fights. And we put on good fights there. And, I love fighting for them as well.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it's just, the bigger the lights, I mean, I love that. I feed off of that. Like, everybody screaming, everybody, I love that.
I started on a big show, man. Like, fighting for B2, my very first fight.
Sure, B2. Like,
oh, man, that's
when
crazy.
They were really doing it, yeah.
That was, when I first walked out, I was in shock almost.
Sure.
I don't even remember anything from it.
That makes sense.
I was dead ass in shock.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a pretty high budget type deal.
Yeah, dude, they were nice. They used to do good shows. I thought I was very new.
Oh,
very
they
green,
certainly
very
did good
green
shoes.
To the scene
were they managing the finances enough to be sustainable would have been the question. Yeah. They were certainly doing good shows. They had the big screens in the back. You walk out.
Had a couple of UFC guys go through there.
Yeah. No, that was pretty
good times.
Pretty cool for a minute. So your pro debut, Anthony, was against Elijah Woodruff. I got to commentate that fight.
You did.
Yeah. You guys
interesting
were talking,
fight.
Nasty fight.
Yeah. You guys were talking shit. Was there shit talk occurring during that fight?
I wish I would have done it earlier because it seemed like he wanted to fight with me when I started talking shit. I just called him a pussy at the end because he just kept trying to hug me. And
don't talk no shit during the fight. Only at the end.
Yeah, Bell told me that because in my other fight, which you commentated as well against Malachi, I started talking shit to him as well in the third round.
Okay.
Me and Malachi are cool. We text each other now. He's like, and we love that war that we had, that fight.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean? It's a good time. I'm in here. We're going to fight, What does it matter if I say?
If you two were to fight each other, you might talk shit to each other while fighting and then hug afterwards.
Yeah. That's we do that at the gym all the time. After he beats me up, he's like, I love you, man. I don't know. It was a weird fight, man. I feel like he just tried to push me up against.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. But even for him, I'm like, dude, if you broke off and you threw a little strikes and then try to take me down, it'd probably work better. I don't know. It was really just and then for me, you got to think it's my first 5 minute rounds.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I use all of my energy to get him off me?
I can imagine going against a wrestler tactically five minutes for the first time.
Yeah.
I can see where that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know about necessarily a challenge, but just something to acclimate yourself to.
Exactly. Just acclimating. I mean, it was my first time doing it and it's it's a wrestler and it's also, 5 minutes is long, I don't have any which is something we're going to work on going into the next fights as well, is give me a time frame. I didn't know. The only guide I had was, okay, we started, so I know I have 5 minutes left, and then the 10 second clap. Okay, now I know there's 10 seconds left. In between there, I'm in no man's land. And
you didn't hear Damon yelling at you?
No, I heard Damon yelling at me. But nobody yelled a time.
Oh,
Nobody yelled hey, there's a minute left.
And your adrenaline's going. And have I been 1 minute in or is it four?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I just kind of get lost. And then plus it's repetitive, he's literally just pushing me here and I'm elbowing him, I'm kneeing him, getting in the strikes in where I can. And he's just pushing me. So there was no break in it. And I'm just lumped into one big I don't know. It was interesting, but I mean, no hate on him. He probably takes that as highly disrespectful and he'll probably, never talk to me or whatever, but it is what it is. It's a fight game. If you're going to get mad that I called you a pussy because you were trying to hug me, you can see it in the last 10 seconds when I do that. I try to break off from him so hard and then he goes right again. Dude, the fight's over. You know what I mean? Like,
and you knew you won.
Yeah, and I knew I won. And then he tried to like swing at me and act like he wanted to fight. Like, dude, you had 15 minutes to do that. Yeah. You know, 3 5-minute rounds. Like, you had a long time to do that. I've rewatched that fight one time, and well, probably like twice. And it's like literally the clock is still on 4:50 when he's already like on me. You know what I mean? There was no even like 10 seconds of straight striking in that fight, which is, it kind of sucks, you know, which I probably could have did more to, I guess, try to get him off me and create it. But when some person, when somebody's like stubborn on that's the only thing they want to do and I'm not taking no damage, I was just going to take it.
Would you take a win like that any day?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A win's
yeah.
a win.
Yeah, win's a win.
Sure.
And I like winning.
Sure.
Like, I don't care if it's, you know, the most entertaining or whatever. Like, I'm here to win.
Sure.
You know, I feel like that's the most important thing. You know, you can be a super entertaining fighter till you go 0-4 and you got knocked out. Oh, he had wars.
Sure.
Yeah, what are you going to do now when you're 0-4 getting knocked out because you want to?
Would you agree with that? What if you win an ugly, boring fight? People are booing you, but you win. Are you okay with that, Alex?
I agree. I do agree. Definitely to an extent.
If you're in the heavyweight division, they kind of want you to go out on your fucking shield. Even if you get knocked out, they don't care. Yeah.
And like, I seen this Instagram reel not that long ago, and it was just a coach. I can't remember his name. I think he was in Atlanta, and he was talking about, he was like, Dana's going to offer guys that are 7-3 banging it out, like going in there having wars before they offer a guy that's 16-0 just laying on guys.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
He's going to offer a guy that's...
That's true.
Some truth to that.
That's true.
Like that.
It's for a title fight, but not to be in the UFC.
Sure. No, and if you get to 16-0, you may not get to the UFC.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then if you get to,
yeah.
But yeah, then if you get to 20-0 and then 24-0, at some point,
yeah, you become undeniable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm saying, like,
but do I want to have 24 fights of just laying on guys?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I don't lay on guys. Let's not get that out of here.
No. But you do want to win.
But I do want to win.
Yeah, you're taking the win from a guy that's just trying to lay on you. So it's a little bit different in Anthony's case, I guess, because I don't ever see Anthony going in there and just crotch sniffing like a sniffing out a win.
I would say that's actually no shade, but I would say that's Elijah Woodruff style more stylistically. He tries to wrestle. I've commentated his fight where he had a big upset win and it was via
Hamel Gym.
Yeah.
They got good wrestlers. He can wrestle well.
Oh yeah. Okay, so wins, you're going for a win at all costs. For this fight, you're trying to get a win at all costs.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to get a win at all costs. I'm trying to make it look good.
Okay,
I ain't trying to just go out there and just. I don't want to initiate a boring fight, but if it gets to that point, I will make it. I'll make it a boring fight. I do feel like if he's brawling and he's getting in too close, and I feel like, oh, I'm taking some damage, I'm going to shoot a takedown. I'm going to try to lay on you. I'm going to try to put the weight on you, my little bit of height that I have on you. I'm going to try to use some jiu-jitsu or something.
Who will weigh more the day of the fight?
I will probably weigh more than him. If his last weigh-in was 261, I think that's what I seen on Tabology, I weigh in at like 264 every single time, 265.
So if he weighs in at 261, that means he'll probably be 261 the day of the fight. What do you think you'll be the day of the fight?
Probably like 270 something.
Okay.
Yeah, because I cut a little
heavyweight's so interesting because it can be like pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like Brock Lesnar would be cutting way down to 265, and then
they weigh like 285.
Those are crazy.
Anthony, what can you tell us about Isaiah Watkins?
Oh, exciting challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, exciting challenge. I actually like his style. Like, if I was at like some fights and I seen him fighting, I'd be probably rooting for him. I'd be rooting for him. I like his style. Seems like a, you know, I don't know. Seems like a cool dude. Think he's a dad or whatever. I stalked his Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I stalked you, bro.
You're 6 foot. He's 5'8".
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that matter? What's that mean?
That I'm taller than him.
Yeah, but stylistically, tell me about his style. Tell me about his style.
He comes in with power. He's definitely trying to put me on my ass. He's trying to knock me out for sure.
That's his whole game plan. You've looked at his Tapology. You've seen a couple.
I've seen his fights. He looks like he's gonna try to knock me out. But I don't know how long that's gonna last. His last Facebook post is him rear naked choking somebody. So. You know,
in a cage, an MMA fight.
Yeah, an MMA fight.
Okay.
So there's
what
always
do you think's the strength to his game.
He's strong and he's very well conditioned.
But did he grow up doing jujitsu or grow up wrestling?
I'm not sure. I haven't stalked him that much. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Looked at his face.
Do you care?
No. Okay. No, I don't care. No, I don't care.
How different is it versus, actually fighting, right? Mm-hmm. Because an actual fight, it's crazy. Because someone could be an All-American wrestler and they get in against someone who's relatively new to MMA, but the MMA guy elbows him in the face and it's over.
Right.
Especially pro.
It's a fight, man. I don't know. I can't be like, yeah, I've been wrestling since I was a kid, or, I've been striking or boxing since I was a child. But I started doing this, and when I started doing something, like, I give it my 110%. I got to go hard. I got to catch up. And Triumph Combat, they're, it's a pretty spar-heavy gym, and I would go in there and, really try to swing on them and would get beat up. I got beat up for a long time.
Shout out to anyone who beat you up. Yeah. Anyone in particular?
Shout out to Cam. Shout out to Ruben.
Cam's pretty bad.
Shout out to Bell. Bell dropped me like one of the first few times I ever went to spar there. Not even bad.
Had you already told him you wanted to fight MMA?
No.
Okay.
No. How that started, which we might have talked about this, but we trained at Fight Factory.
Yep.
And then it was like just jiu-jitsu, strictly jiu-jitsu for like over a year. He probably did it a little longer than I did, but it was like a year and a half. And he's like, hey, you should come over to Triumph Combat. They got open mat on Sunday. You should come spar. And I was like, all right. And so I would go over there.
Because we had like one day of striking at Fight Factory.
Mm-hmm.
We would do one day of striking, and me and Anthony would always just get loose that one day.
Yeah, we would just bang.
Because we would be like, oh, this is fun. Striking is fun. But we were mainly jiu-jitsu guys.
Was that the Thai guy?
Yeah, Saka Sim. Yeah.
Saka Sim.
Okay. And we would have that class, and then we would always talk about striking and think about it. So as soon as I found Triumph, and really Cam was who introduced me to it. Cam was like,
he's a coach, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a coach.
Yeah, he's a boxing coach.
He was a boxing coach at Fight Factory as well. Mm-hmm. And so he started becoming a boxing coach at Triumph.
I boxed with him. He's pretty fucking good.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's really good. He was supposed to fight Dylan Budka in a boxing match.
Okay.
That ended up falling through.
Yeah.
I started going to Triumph with Cam, and then I just started inviting everybody from Fight Factory because I was like, hey, if y'all want to start actually – striking like we say we want to,
come over the difference in skill was just is noticeable. Yeah. Like, I think if anybody goes there, they're not gonna be like, oh, they're a bunch of bums over there. Like, I don't care who you are, you know what I mean? Like, from anywhere in the world, you can come over here
and
Sunday, and you're gonna get good work. And we have
Michigan,
had that
in Florida, all mm-hmm. over coming to Triumph. Charles Radke came in from the UFC, he came in Triumph. What's the woman's name? Montana De La Rosa came in Triumph.
When the UFC was here, that's where they came and they prepped and stuff.
Wonder how that happened.
Brad Katona,
maybe BJ, the Fergusons, maybe.
No idea.
I'm pretty sure Charles just said he looked up BJ James, fight James in the area near his hotel.
Okay.
One of the ones that popped
up. Y'all do have a good location.
Yeah, we do have a good location. The location's great.
Yeah.
I agree. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how they found it. But they came in, and they all gave its props. They was like, the guys in here are good. Like, they didn't, go hard because it was their fight week.
Yeah.
But they can see the skill. They're UFC fighters. They can see the skill.
Okay. Real quick, I want to give a shout-out to Eddie Donaldson. Ed Suarez, of course, the CEO of LFA. But Eddie Donaldson in particular is kind of responsible for making the LFA in Louisville happen and becoming a regular thing. So we all appreciate the work Eddie has done for the local fight community. Also, the Kelly Patrick Show, we're giving away two tickets, courtesy of Eddie Donaldson, two tickets to the show. If someone wants to enter their name into the drawing to win the two tickets, you got to go to the Bittersweet Battles Instagram page and comment on any of the photos. You got to say, I'm a health insurance broker, so I'm trying to get some referrals, in particular people on Medicare, or even if someone needs a plan, you got any of our ages. So I need health insurance referrals, but my website is MedicareStoreUSA.com. So you got to go comment on any of the Bittersweet Battles posts and say MedicareStoreUSA.com, and then say, give me the tickets or something like that. And then June 5th, I'm going to draw out two of the names from people who have done that, and you get really good tickets to the event.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so now I'm going to have you guys help me preview the local guys for this card.
All right, let's do it. I actually haven't looked at this card.
I've
seen some posts, and I'm excited.
And we don't need to know a bunch about the opponents, but maybe, if you know anything about the local guys that I recognize, let's hear what you know about them, that type of stuff.
All right.
First name I recognize here is Eric Moore out of Derby City.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you guys got to do any work with Eric?
I watched Eric. No, I haven't really done much work with him. I've been over to Derby City a couple times with, like, Emilio and Austin Transit.
He crossed sure, Derby yeah. City.
I've definitely seen Eric working.
He's got some really impressive kickboxing knockouts.
He works hard. I watched his last fight. His
lost. Yeah.
Graham.
Yeah.
Something Graham.
Younger guy.
Yeah, younger guy.
He got choked out.
Yeah, I think it was
And he handled it like a champ.
He jumped right up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Micah Graham.
Yeah.
Got him with a darce in the first round. That was crazy. His dad, Eric Moore's dad, was a military guy, standing there, like all jacked, like muscles, like bulging, right behind the commentary bench, like watching. And then Eric goes in there and just gets darced and choked completely unconscious. Everybody's like, what the fuck? Eric hops up. His dad's like, what the hell? Eric's like smiling, hugging him, yeah. like, that was awesome or something.
That's the way you should be.
Yeah.
Like, you caught me, man.
Yeah.
You caught me. Good job.
but Eric has a really good kickboxing game, good. Former college football player.
He was good.
He was a quarterback, I think, maybe for Kentucky State. So really good athlete. He's got a brother who's like one of the best guys on the Louisville track team. So Eric Moore out of Derby City is the first name I recognize there. Up next, we got
amateur.
Okay. Yep, that's a 170-pound matchup. Eric is 2-1 in his amateur career against Carson Rainwater, who's 4-6.
Oh, there he goes.
Yep.
Get that, Eric.
Yep. Up next, we have Todd Pickett out of Gracie, Kentucky. Also trains, of course, you know, at some at Two Brothers. Mm-hmm. You guys got to either watch or train at all with Todd? Anybody?
I've seen Todd fight.
Yeah, I've watched him fight.
I've watched his fights. Okay. He's pretty good. He fought on LFA last year.
He did.
I think he went after me.
He fought Gates.
Yeah, he fought Gates. I think he got him in an arm triangle.
He got an arm triangle in round one.
Yeah, an arm
Gates
triangle.
Gates Cook, yep.
They both looked really good in that fight.
Yeah.
Gates looked really good on the feet. Todd looked good, of course. When Todd takes it to the ground, dude, it's like you might as well just ring the bell, dude.
Yeah, Todd's 8-0.
Just ring the bell when that dude takes it to the ground.
Yeah, he's very good. I'm excited for – hopefully after this one, he makes his professional debut.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm fortunate I got to start training with Todd when he was 15 years old. And when he was 15, I could submit him.
Real?
Yeah. Is that impressive?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Does it make
you sound like a badass?
I tell everybody, hey, you know that guy, I submit him.
It wasn't very long, but it was like day one.
Literally, when he was 15 part.
Literally when he was 15. Like day one, I was there. And when he walked in the doors, I could submit him that day.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have much luck from that point.
You know how I would tell a story? Be like, yeah, you know Todd Pickett, he came into my gym and I submitted him.
That's I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's how I tell. You know, leave out the 15-year-old part, baby.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Damn. And then hilarious. I decided not to fight. I mean, I didn't need to. What else did I need to prove?
Yeah.
All right. Like that.
He's 24 years old. Todd is, 8-0 in his amateur career. 170-pound matchup. Okay. And then, of course, we got Alex's fight against Blake Mitchell. Then we have Eden Hall.
Nice.
Making her pro debut against Christiane Carvalho, the karate queen, who's a Brazilian, 1-1 in her pro career. So have you guys either seen or probably maybe got to, I don't know, do any work with Eden or seen her fight, anything like that?
Dude, we were doing like a circuit. It was me, Emilio, Austin.
Can you put this a little closer to your mouth? Yeah.
It was me, Emilio, Austin, and Eden.
Yeah.
We were all just doing a circuit. We were doing like 30 seconds on the bike, and Ben Fowler was coaching. Ben Fowler was walking us through it. It was 30 seconds on the bike, and then we were doing like a lift. And when I tell you I've never seen someone be able to do like 30 seconds hard on the bike Eden did,
I was
like, dude, that's cardio.
Sure.
Like over and over again, like three rounds of it. I was like, damn.
She certainly looks like she belongs. 4-0 amateur career. She had a lot of trouble finding fights. You know, she won three of her four fights in the first round against Skyly Allen. She won a unanimous decision.
4-0.
Yeah.
As an amateur.
4-0 as an amateur. 29 years old. Eden, you know, according to Eddie Donaldson, who I spoke on the phone a couple days ago, Eden's someone who could be realistically in the UFC.
Yeah.
Fighting for LFA, you know, females who have the look. Yeah, Joseph Hall.
Yeah, he's a black belt too.
Yeah, yes. Okay, so Eden Hall. And then we have, of course, Anthony against Isaiah Watkins. And then we have David Richardson. You guys familiar with David Richardson at all?
We're friends on Facebook. We haven't trained at all together, but we're friends on Facebook. I've watched a couple of his highlights of his fights.
Yeah, David Richardson.
Oh, I don't know who that is. That dude's jacked.
He's jacked. Yeah. He wrestled here in Kentucky. He wrestled for Campbellsville University as a sophomore in high school. I interviewed him last night on the Kelly Patrick Show, actually.
Oh, wow. That's who that guy is. Okay. Yeah. I've seen it. Okay, okay.
He was as a sophomore in high school in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He was the number one ranked, I think, 170-pound wrestler in the state of Florida.
Wow. So he's way bigger than 170 now.
Yeah, well, he's fighting at 185.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's making his so he was the number one ranked wrestler in the state of Florida, and then he got into some trouble, kind of dropped off with the wrestling, got into some trouble, but ended up wrestling at Campbellsville. And I was fortunate that back in, I said this in the episode last night, but back in 2020, October 2020, I commentated his first MMA fight against Ethan Riley. And Ethan is like a badass jiu-jitsu fighter. He's a good pro fighter now. But Ethan was doing jiu-jitsu stuff, doing arm bars, and David was just fucking jacked. And, you know, like, he had the wrestling, and he was on top, and he just won. And David said it on the show last night. Like, he kind of muscled his way through it. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, like, there's something to this guy, you know, but he didn't look like he had any striking, like literally none, literally no striking, but he had, you know, a solid wrestling foundation. I knew he'd wrestled at Campbellsville. He's a good college wrestler. But then 6 years later, now he's got with a boxing gym in Radcliffe, Sparrow's Boxing Gym. And if you follow him on social media, he's gotten like real pretty boxing all of a sudden. He's really worked specifically on his hands. So he's like kind of like a, you know, a science experiment or something. He's 4-5 in his pro.
How old is he?
He's 34 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's no spring chicken, but he's trying to make a run at it. Okay. So David Richardson, 4-5 against.
Still think, again, anybody built like that can pop off 6 fights in a year.
No, he's very, very muscular. And he said on the show last night he's planning on knocking this guy out.
There you go.
Speaking of knockouts, up next we have 125-pound matchup. Tyler Stout against Scott Calvert. You guys familiar with Tyler Stout?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with both, actually. Scott was on your card last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I probably didn't see him.
I'm pretty sure.
Or maybe I did. I don't know. I don't remember.
Calvert, that sounds very familiar.
I'll check it out. Let's see here. Yeah. He beat Eric Sanchez on that card.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric, it's that guy.
Eric got injured.
Are you? He's fighting Hollywood.
They both, yeah.
God damn it,
Hollywood.
Little Hollywood.
Yeah,
you stole my name, bro.
And he's fighting after you.
Yeah, he's fighting after me. How is this possible? See this negation I'm talking about.
He is.
Fuck that.
Topology is not always.
They need to switch that up, man. Co-main event me. Come on, Eddie. Fuck.
What can you guys tell me about Tyler Stout?
He's got hands.
Yeah, Tyler's got hands. He worked. I watched his fight versus Ronnie Burton. The last fight he had. We had one guy on that card, so I was there that night when Eric Moore and Tyler Stout fought.
That's right, yep. I was there. I got to commentate
that. He dropped him. I think it was the third round he dropped him.
Yep.
It was a good fight.
Yeah.
Was that black dude?
Yeah.
The kickboxer dude? Yeah. I think he dropped him a couple times.
He did. And one of the times he dropped him, and he kind of stopped, and he looked at the ref.
Yeah, he looked at the ref.
And then they didn't stop it, and they kept going. And then, you know, he ended up winning a decision.
Yeah.
But Tyler Stout is the type of guy who's really going for the highlight reel knockout.
Yeah.
He put on a show. And he's got some highlight reel knockout.
Yeah, he does. He does, so I know why he's hunting for him. But
knockout, that was viral. You know,
I'd try to get that finished, though, if I was him. That'd be my only, like, I'm not going to critique him. I mean, he's obviously a really good fighter. But, I mean, he is trying to Sean O'Malley these motherfuckers in a way, you know.
He wants the, like, pause moment.
Yeah, he wants that, like boom. And
the TKO if you got to.
Right? Yeah,
go
yeah.
Finish him.
Get that win.
Knock him down. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But, I mean, no hate to him, though, you know. Yeah. He's a good fighter for sure.
He's got that one walk-off. I feel like when you get a walk-off, it itches you. It's like, I want another walk-off.
I bet, man.
Knock a dude out.
Yeah, I haven't got a walk-off knockout, so I don't know, bro.
That's crazy.
The second I get that's all I'm going
to
want.
That's crazy.
Is that important to you?
It's up on the list of fighting. I got to get a walk-off knockout before I quit fighting.
I mean, it might not have to be a walk-off, but I do want to knock a motherfucker out, though. That's definitely up there.
Is that important to you?
It's important to me. Yeah, that's pretty dope. If you get that's like the ultimate highlight reel, dude.
Yeah.
You get a walk-off knockout.
A knockout is just like, damn.
You knock a dude down, you attack it, you jump on him, you start pounding, the ref calls it, that's cool and all. You knock a dude down. The ref has to immediately move in.
Yeah.
That's
you knock him out to where you look at him, you're like, his soul left his body.
Yeah, his soul left his body. You like turn around and put your hands up.
Yeah.
You know.
You know.
That's how.
Not like, oh, I got to jump on him. He might, you know, recover.
He might get up. Yeah.
It looks like Hollywood Scott Calvert has a brother named Eric Calvert who's fighting on this card.
I think he fought last year as well.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
I was going to say that, but I wasn't sure. I was like, it was either him or his brother.
There's two of them?
Yeah, there is two of them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is he 125 too?
Yes.
Holy shit. Hollywood?
Is he also?
he's Lyle. Lyle's his nickname.
Oh, Lyle. Okay. Lyle.
Yep.
I bet they're good training partners together.
Yeah, 100%. If your brother is also 125.
Yeah, they probably go hard in the paint.
Up next, we have Keyston McClain, 145-pound matchup. Keyston is 4-0 in his pro career. You guys familiar with Keyston?
Nice. He's been to the gym a few times. Travis. Yeah, he comes with Travis to train with us a few times. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely got a skill.
I watched him fight or spar with Antonio and stuff like that. And he's good.
Sitting at 4-0. Mm-hmm. Keyston is 25 years old. Perfect record out of Paducah.
His last fight was a banger, too. Versus Alex Riggs. He posted the highlights of that.
Got a rear naked choke win there in the third round. So Keyston, another local guy, looking to make a name for himself on the biggest stage out there outside of the UFC. Will we agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree.
This is where it's at?
Yeah,
I'd agree.
Up next, we have Will Davis sitting at 3-1 pro against Wilson Lopshire, 155-pound matchup. You guys familiar with Will? You possibly?
Yeah, I know Will, yeah.
They got him that high on the card? Man.
Travis fought.
Well, we don't know once again.
It's topology.
Yeah, so you don't know. It just happens to be where it's at. So Will sitting at 3-1, 155-pound matchup, going against Wilson, who's 6-0 in his pro career. It looks like he wrestled probably for Ancilla College out of Indiana. Let's see what his amateur record was.
That seems like going to be a hard night.
Yeah, 6-0 pro. I mean, he's
6-0 pro, and he's a wrestler.
Will's got good jiu-jitsu. It's good.
He's got good jiu-jitsu, and he's got a long reach. You mentioned
he
has a long reach.
I was about
reach.
To say he does got a good reach.
I mean, Travis submitted him in a minute and a half.
Yeah,
So.
Travis is a beast.
Travis is a beast. Shout out Travis.
The exact same thing. Travis is.
Travis is a beast, though. He is a beast, though.
And he takes the hardest fights.
He does.
He takes the hardest fights.
We were trying to get him to fight Daryl Ray. So give him a little mix-up. Throw a little. And he was down for it. He was like, I'll do a little tune-up fight, Daryl Ray. Hard Rock wouldn't let it happen.
No.
No.
Dude.
Yeah, he fights the hardest guys, dude.
They're like, nah, NCAA champion. Nah, man.
Penn State boxer.
Yeah.
The next dude was like a black belt for a popularized gym.
Okay, so those are the local guys. That's a lot of local guys on the card. What do we got here? Let's count that.
Hopefully we're all in the same locker room.
One, two,
is Yancey not fighting on that?
Yeah, Yancey's supposed to be.
I feel like Yancey got posted his stuff about it.
He did.
He posted his contract.
Jacob Yancey?
Yes.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. He did.
He said he's returning.
Yeah.
So it says nine guys are on Tapology, but you're saying Jacob Yancey's fighting.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what he posted here. Let me try to find it real quick.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would make sense. Yancey and Tyler Stout are certainly, you know, longtime training partners.
He's been locked in for the past year.
Do you see how much?
LFA, 235.
Wow.
Posted that, yeah.
Okay, shout out to Jacob Yancey.
Shout out to Jacob Yancey.
You guys have got to do a little bit of work with him.
Oh, I love Jacob.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
He actually was at Triumph for, say, like 6 months.
Okay.
Maybe half a year. He was there. He trained with us literally every week, every day of the week.
No.
Okay.
Shout out Yancey.
So, you guys are pro MMA fighters. You guys got any sponsors you need to shout out? Anything like that?
Nah, that's all Anthony. Anthony got all the sponsors.
Hollywood.
I take all the gym sponsors. You show them your sponsors. I'll tell them the gym.
Okay. We're gonna shout out Triumph Combat because they're the best. They're the best sponsor out there. Damon Bell, I love you. And I love you, Coach. Eddie has also helped a lot with getting me sponsors and stuff like
Eddie
that.
Eddie Donaldson,
with the Trust Agency and everything. He's been working with me a lot to really build me. You know, I mean, he has love for me, and I really appreciate that. You know, and everything that he's doing, I have love for him as well for everything that he's trying to do. You know, he sees a market, he sees what he can do with his different vision. You know, and he's trying to really.
He's an asset to the local combat sports
definitely,
community.
Definitely, for sure. You know, I mean, he's definitely not bringing nothing bad to it.
No,
for sure.
He's
you know?
Building everybody.
Yeah, and he's building everybody up. You know, he's not really like this team or that team. He's just like, you know, I want to.
Everybody.
Whenever he's talking to me, he's like, hey, Kelly, if you're going to do a ticket giveaway, try to support your health insurance agency.
Yeah.
So he's the one who convinced me to try to do it like that. Like, he's legitimately trying to.
He's really trying everybody. To help people. Yeah.
Yes.
For everybody. So Artists for Trauma, they're sponsoring me. Tap Automotive and Fanti's Coffee.
Okay.
So those are my sponsors for now.
Okay.
See what else we get on there before the show. We still got a little while. How long? How long?
I'm trying to get Rumpke.
June 19th.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
6-7 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's about 40 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got to do with this?
What's that?
6-7. Like 6-7 weeks away.
6-7. Something like that. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, maybe 6-7.
Yeah. Maybe yeah,
six,
you know.
6-7 weeks yeah, away.
Something like that.
Somewhere around there. Oh.
I think Free Bleed is gonna make our shirts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Who runs Free Bleed?
I think that's who makes our shirts, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
But shout out to Free Bleed.
Shout out to them. Yeah, yeah. We're going to get our shirts done. I don't know. Probably seen our logos. They're pretty dope.
We posted our logos that we're going to use. We're going all Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bell made them. He just randomly sent them to us. I was like, yo, we're doing Mortal Kombat theme for posters and shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, what do you think about this? I was like, I think it looks dope. Yeah. Let's do it.
Sounds like fun.
I think it looks cool.
Yeah. I think it looks awesome. The AI is pretty legit. They make me look sexy. Wow.
You guys fans of any other sports except for fighting?
I watch baseball.
Do you?
Yeah, every day. Yeah,
really?
I love baseball.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. Favorite team is the Reds.
Oh, shit.
Reds
me too.
Games.
Me too.
I go to Reds games all the time.
They're on probably losing their eighth straight right
now. Yeah, we were leading the NL for
Let's see.
Bit.
I was just following it right before you got here. Look, it was on my
phone.
They're
playing the Astros right now.
Yeah. End of. Damn, they lost seven.
Just got swept by the Cubs 3-0.
Yeah, they lost seven in a row. And then, look. Tonight we lost 10-0 to the Astros.
Oh, God, dude, yeah.
So 8-0.
Sadly.
Eight in a row we've lost. But still 20-19, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Before the season, I would have taken a 20-19 record. Yeah. You fan of any other sports?
Not really. No? I'm barely a fan of fighting, to be honest.
Dude, did not keep up with UFC.
No, I
know. I don't really necessarily either.
Yeah,
I don't that much either.
Like, I watch
the big fights.
Yeah, I watch the big fights. Like tomorrow, I'm definitely going to tune in for that stuff. But these guys are every weekend, and they're, we got a group
I'm
chat.
I'm starting at 4 o'clock.
No.
The prelims. I'm watching the prelims.
Yeah, he's,
fight.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, these guys, I was like, no, you guys are really big fight fans. Like, he knows guys that I have no idea who they are.
I know guys that fight for, like, PFL and LFA. That are the top guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, Gabriel Miranda and stuff like that. Like, the top guys in LFA. That are about to go to the UFC, I know all those guys.
Okay, since you know all those guys, if you win this fight, who would you like to call out?
Oh, who would I like to call out? Who would be...
Try to stir some shit up.
I would say that...
Because you know them. I mean, who would be a good
you
matchup?
You said you know them.
Yeah, you did.
I have no idea who the guys are.
You set yourself up for that.
I don't know. The UFC guys that just fought for the LFA that I know...
Oh, so it would be maybe someone that formerly fought in the UFC that you get a... So
no,
your next fight,
that,
if you
no,
win this fight...
No, that's what I was
fight.
About to say. The LFA guys that I know that are that fought for LFA are about to fight for Dana White Contender Series.
Okay.
Like Charlie, Bad Matt Adams is also about to fight for Dana White Contender Series. That Russian, he just fought for the belt. He's about to fight for Dana White Contender Series.
Okay. LFA is truly where it's at.
Dude, they
we were joking about they fucked you over earlier.
They sent the guys up.
No bad blood between you and the LFA.
Not at all.
At all.
I love, dude. Like I said, like any show is going to have problems their first time there. You know what I'm saying? Their first time in the city. It's like, how do we do this? How do we work this? And what they did, they adjusted. They was like, yo, let's go to Freedom Hall instead. Way better opening, way better to get everybody in. And they adjusted, and I'm like, you know what? I'm coming back then. I'll do it again.
What I will say
and
about
this
LFA.
I'm not the first fight on the card. I'm a pro, so it's like.
That is also different. You got to think of it like he's probably, like, if you watch the UFC, I mean, they're not packed for the prelim.
Sure.
For fight. You know, he's the fill-in one, so I get that as well.
First fight of the night.
But if the LFA could do this, and I would assume mine would be getting recorded in hours because we're going to be on the prelims and or main card, whatever, of LFA. But to record the amateur fights. They don't record amateur fights. Like, I had my LFA fight last year, which everybody tells me, they're like, dude, that was one of your best performances. And the video I got is, like, from my mom on the cage side, you know. And I feel like they're already investing in us. We're already there. You know what I mean? If you could do it just for the fighters, you know, just to be able to have that. Because it is a big stage.
A screen record of the pay-per-view or something, I would think, maybe.
Well, this is the thing. The cameras aren't even up for
they
the amateur fights.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
don't
even got guys around the cage for amateur
fights. Yeah, they don't.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
They call you out. You go there. Are you ready? Are you ready? Go. Which is cool. You know, I'm not hating on that.
Yeah. You'll take it.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
It's an opportunity to fight for the LFA.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they're adding guys to the card without having to pay.
And especially right here.
Yeah.
How many? They got 8
guys in there,
including Stump, 9 local guys. We appreciate you, LFA. Ed Suarez, Eddie Donaldson.
100%.
I'll be having Ed Suarez on the show this upcoming Thursday.
Awesome.
So he's, of course, the CFO of LFA. So we certainly appreciate them coming to town. I was 100%. I was arguing you can make a case it's better for the local fight community to have LFA come to Louisville instead of even the UFC.
Oh, yeah, because LFA is going to put more guys on.
Yeah.
UFC, they'll go local, but to an extent. Like, they're going to go, like, to Tennessee. If they come to Louisville, they're going to go to, like, Tennessee and stuff like that. They're not going to go all the way to across the country, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they have before.
Yeah.
They got the money to. The UFC does. Okay. But yeah. A lot of those prelim fights are always just going to be local guys. They're just going to have guys drive in from around the area. They're not going to pay for a whole bunch of plane tickets for coaches stuff like that.
Did you grow up playing baseball? Why are you a fan of baseball?
I didn't grow up playing baseball. I grew up playing football. I always made fun of baseball players.
What type of stuff would you say? Like,
because their pants
looked gay? Yeah, I always thought it was soft. Their pants looked gay? Than football. I was like a high schooler. That just,
those guys are jacked, though.
Everybody.
Yeah, baseball's pretty serious.
Dude, baseball players are jacked.
They're jacked,
difficult sport.
There's guys very that are difficult. Jacked in baseball, and then there's guys that look like complete slobs.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what?
It's kind of like fighting.
What is this sport?
Skill is worth more than anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love baseball. That's what more my, like, friend group likes to watch. Like, I got, of course, the guys in the gym, my friend group. But then, like, my outside friends are all baseball. Okay. All baseball guys.
Interesting.
Like,
you just like happen that. To have a group of friends who are into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. What else are you into, Anthony?
Chess.
Other than winning
he
the...
He does love chess.
Avery said you were the hottest guy on
the
MMA game.
That was hilarious.
Other than that.
Avery... I am the hottest on MMA gay. That's what they said.
Yeah.
It was like this dude he had on.
You didn't hear
MMA gay?
Bro, that was hilarious.
No.
What have you been doing with your life?
I heard about your, not yours, but BJ winning the hottest
most handsome. Yeah, I made that.
Yeah, BJ won that.
Avery and I made that. Avery Razor is a local gay black guy who's a comedian. I don't think he'd mind me introducing him like that. Does that sound offensive?
Mm-mm.
No, it's fine.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he lives in Chicago now. He's actually pretty funny. Very offensive. He offends people. A lot of people get mad
those
at
are
him.
The best jokes.
A lot
those
of people don't jokes. Like him, so to be honest. But I'm going to do an episode with him before this upcoming Hard Rock card. We're going to do another MMA gay episode. And so what we do is I have him on, and we go through and stalk people's Facebook, and Avery talks about which ones he thinks are hot or if their outfits are stupid, stuff like that. We're trying to piss
that
people off.
That is hilarious. Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't told the gym that.
What do you mean? Yeah, I definitely told it. I told Bill. I told Bill you need to go watch that podcast. It was hilarious.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was me in my underwear flexing like this the very first time.
Dude.
You should. I forget the weight. Reaction, but it was something like, "Oh yeah," you know. It was like, "Oh, we got." Because you hear Avery's reaction as we're bringing up like the Facebook profiles and the pictures, and you know, it's funny. Sometimes if they look like they might be racist or something,
yeah,
or they're a Republican,
that's
you know,
funny.
Or something like that. Avery's, you know, he can be a little harsh on people, but that's fun.
He will point it out.
Yes,
he will. So. You know.
But other than that,
I like to play chess.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I like all the time.
Probably the best in the gym.
Yeah.
Really?
Definitely the best in the gym.
You play on your phone?
Yeah, I play on my phone.
Chess.com?
Chess.com. My elo's not that high, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of pissed. I don't know if you've seen, but there's this dude. He's like this kid, and he's like, how to get good at anything. And he'll do like it for a day. And he got to 1,200 elo in like 3 days. Well, in 24 hours. But since he learned chess, he got there in 3 days. And I was very upset. I was highly upset. I think the highest I've got is like 700. So, which tells you how bad they are. They're really bad.
Play.
Well, he don't play.
I'm not good at chess.
But
the guys. And to be honest, I have played a lot. Hacker, you know Alex Hacker?
Yeah, no. Alex.
Alex Hacker. Yeah, yeah. He's a black belt. Trains at 502. He did commentary with me for Hard Rock for many years. He beat me in chess.com. Like I would never take any lessons or anything.
Yeah.
But on the app, he beat me like 400 times, and I beat him like four. Or something crazy like that.
Damn.
Yeah. Not. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah, but no, that's still.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. I've never lost to anybody at the gym.
No?
No.
So if someone's listening and you, what's your handle on chess.com?
Oh, let's see.
I mean, maybe we'll have someone listening who thinks they could fuck you up. I hate to stir shit up.
No, I bet there's a lot of people on there that could fuck me up. But
dude,
listen.
He walks into the gym every day talking about how he's smacking everybody in chess.
It's because they suck so bad. And that's the thing. They talk about it, and it's like they're so bad. It's like dudes on the street who think they can fight because they are like big or something like that. You know? They're just so bad. Let's see what my name is on here.
Let me see what Hacker is. I got to get him playing against you.
How do I check my... Okay, profile. Oh, God, you're going to love this. Hollywood_Ville is my handle on
Hollywood
there.
Hollywood_Ville.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
go get him.
So challenge me. Add me as a friend. I will play you back. Let's play rapid.
Okay, so that's like timed.
Yeah, timed. That's the only way to play. I don't like them three-day things because they go too long.
And sometimes they don't finish.
Yeah, and then you don't finish them. They got to send them back.
That's like, how it is in tournament, like real tournament. You get time.
It's always time.
Yeah, fuck all that. 10 minutes. Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. 10 minutes. I get 10 minutes. You get 10 minutes. Like a 20-minute game. I play every day.
Are you like a student of chess? Like, do you have a who's the best chess player of all time? Do you know?
Magnus Carlsen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Definitely. Magnus Carlsen. But I watched this dude called Gotham Chess. God, I sound like such a nerd right now. I sound like such a nerd. You know, I tell people they're so nerds because they talk about anime and stuff like that, and then I get to talk about chess, and I feel like such a nerd.
Was Andrew Tate's dad a chess player?
Yeah, he was. He was. I don't know if he was a grandmaster, but I know he was a really good chess player, and I think Andrew Tate's pretty good at it. But it's true. There's just so much levels to it, you know? Like, even what I want to get to, like, I want to get to 1,000, 1,200, which is, like, like really good, but it's still an intermediate, you know? Like, I'm saying these ELOs, and you probably have no idea what the numbers are that I'm saying.
Even though I've played chess.com a lot, I don't. Yeah. I don't even pay attention to my number. Yeah.
Okay, well, like, I'm 700. 1,200 is, like, an intermediate, right? And then, like, grandmasters, like, Magnus Carlsen is, like, 3,000-something. So,
jeez.
It's like super good.
And he plays on chess.com?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know what he does.
But he's alive
right now? He does tournament. Yeah, he's alive. Okay. He's alive. Yeah. He was like young when I was like younger. I think he's not that old. But like when I was like 15, it was like new prodigy coming in. Da, da, da. He's like does like where he's blindfolded and he'll play five people and stuff like that. And he can like say see, I'm not that good, but I'm trying to get there. It's a lot. It's hard, man. It's because this is my thought process behind it. I play chess. I really need to start reading more. So I fight. I get hit in the head, right? I get hit in the head a lot. And so I already didn't go to high school. So my education is, you know, I'm trying not to lose all of my brain cells.
Statistically, within a few years, you're going to be retarded.
It could be gone. I could be a vegetable.
You could be an actual retard.
Yes. You know, so I'm trying to avoid that. And I'm like, what are things that I could do? Let's see. Do I like to read? No. Last time I read a book is when I was incarcerated, like 3 years ago.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was incarcerated, you know. Really? Yeah, for some things that happened.
Let's talk. What do you mean? What?
Yeah, just, you know.
Have you been in jail once?
Yes. Okay. Well, I guess a couple of times.
Okay.
But I did one kind of long stay. Not even that long of a stay, you know.
How long?
60 days.
Okay.
Kind of like that show. You ever seen 60 days in?
I don't think so. No.
So, okay, well, it's like a show where guys go to jail. They do 60 days in jail. So I was there for 60 days. That's like what I signed as like an agreement.
Was this before you started training fighting?
This is before I started training, yeah. Actually, I feel like the more I think about it and like where my life has been and like where I'm going and everything, fighting really saved my life.
Yeah.
Like I really, it gives me something to like be dedicated to and, you know, stay disciplined to like, you know, if you don't have a fight on schedule or if you don't have nothing on schedule, it's like you're kind of like, you know. And even if I don't have a fight on schedule, I'm like, I know I will. So I'm still like working at it. You know what I mean? And I've just decided that for this period of time in my life, this is like what I want to do.
You want to be progressing.
Yeah.
You can't be out like partying too hard.
Yeah. Like I don't even drink anymore. No. I don't smoke. Yeah. I've been sober for my call since October.
Okay.
Yeah. So just because it's like, oh, you can drink every now and again. What I used to do is like after my fights maybe. But it's like even that one day of like hangover where I don't feel good, like I can't even afford that day, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like I'm just not where I want to be at. That's just how I feel.
I think you said it earlier. I don't want to butcher or, you know, paraphrase what you said, but like you're trying to make up time or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to.
Is that what you said?
I don't
something
know.
Like that.
Something like that.
Catch up.
Yeah, I haven't.
Other guys start earlier.
Yeah, other guys start earlier. Yeah. That is what I said. I play catch up. Like when I got to the gym, like Cam is really good. You know what I mean? Like Alex.
He's been training since he was 15.
Yeah, like Antonio. You've been training forever. Like Bill. Yeah. Bill is really good. You know, so I had to like I had to be there to try to get to their level. You know what I mean?
Sure.
At least we get good rounds in with each other and, you know, it's a back and forth. So I got to really like try to do that. I can't just go to the gym and like, oh, what are we doing today? And kind of just
go through the motions.
Like I had to be really like.
Yeah. If you do, you're just shorting yourself.
I'm shorting myself. Exactly. And Bell says that all the time. He's like, yo, I don't want to put the work in right here. You know, you're not hurting anybody but yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, that's true. And
you
I want
to keep this perfect record going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ideally in a perfect world, you know, if the day comes that I lose and everything like that, you know, whatever, like I've had fights where I'm already not satisfied with myself and I feel like I lost. So, you know, which is probably not the same feeling as actually losing, but I'm not trying to lose. Yeah. I'm trying to do everything in my power to not lose. You know, sure. I love to win. I'm very competitive in everything that I do. Like, we go play basketball, and I'm playing my heart out.
Are you pretty good at basketball?
We go.
He plays basketball like he fights. Hard and athletic.
Yeah. Are you good at basketball?
I think
he's the best in the gym.
You're 6'4". That doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, yeah. It helps.
He's got a nice shot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, he can move. You know, he can push you around with all that weight.
You never played basketball in school?
No, I didn't play basketball in school. No. I only played football in school. I focused so hard on football when I was growing up. That was, like, my biggest. I just thought I was going to be a football player for always.
Yeah. How old are you?
24.
Okay. 25?
25.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
I'll tell you what, though. If I could have been in the NBA, I'd rather be in the NBA.
I would rather be in the NBA.
Because it fucks your body up less?
No, that's just dope.
You're getting paid so much money.
You're
paid what in the UFC?
You're a superstar.
$12,000. Yeah. The guys sitting on the bench in the NBA are making $500,000.
Yeah. Basketball's pretty cool, even without the money.
Yeah, it's just cool.
I grew up playing basketball. I rode the bench. I was good enough to make the team at Oldham County High School. I never played.
Yeah.
But now I'm 5'9". My son's like a little bit over 6 foot.
I've seen those highlights.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking good. It's like cool as shit. I devoted my whole life to it.
Half court.
And he's fucking, my son is pretty, I mean, he's not, you know, he scored like 25 points.
He's pretty good.
As a junior varsity this past year for Wagner. So, I mean, he's way better than I ever was.
Right.
So, it's cool to watch. So, that is pretty fun.
No, that has to be an amazing feeling.
It's cool, man. It looks like he's having so much fucking fun. It was fun for me to just ride the bench and to practice. Basketball's super fun.
Dropping buckets.
Actually hitting deep threes and shit. Yeah, and having the crowd like cheer for you.
I've always thought about that. Like in football, it's like I'll pancake a guy.
And nobody even fucking knows.
Seen that shit.
You
know what I'm saying?
Offensive line is the epitome of.
That's why I loved fighting when I got into it. I'm like, wait, like they announced my
name. It's all you.
It's
all you.
My hand up. Like, it's like, oh, this is all me. It almost sounds selfish to an extent. But as an offensive lineman, you got no love.
Well, so I don't think being selfish is necessarily
bad. When you did bad,
thing.
You got all the hate.
Yeah, sure.
That's exactly how it was. It was like, dang, y'all lost because the offensive line.
Like, how many offensive linemen have gotten a ton of credit historically? Orlando Pace?
Yeah. Trent Williams, maybe.
Trent Williams.
There's
others.
There's a couple.
But not that many. And and most way more people know who Peyton Manning is or something like that. Yeah.
Dude, people know who Peyton Manning is that's never watched a football game.
Exactly.
In their life.
Yeah. No one gives a shit for the most part about, you know,
any offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Sadly.
But
yeah, that ate at me in high school.
I should have wrestled. In hindsight, I should have definitely wrestled. Yeah. I went to Oldham County. They had a good wrestling team.
I say the same thing.
Like, I should have definitely.
I wish I would have wrestled.
Yeah. Braden.
Central's got a wrestling
team. Go to state wrestling.
Where did you go to high school a little bit?
Western,
okay.
I actually seen a video where I think they went to state, I think.
Did Western.
Not that long ago.
Okay. A bunch like of schools. Like,
but regardless, even if you weren't a good wrestler, like Chewy says that he wasn't even a good wrestler in high school.
Yeah.
Like, he was an average wrestler. So, I mean, even just getting those reps of being a below average even, it's just way better. If you're going to end up in combat sports world, you know, that's very valuable.
Yeah, your body gets used also to, I feel like, to that work.
Yeah.
Like
wrestling is such a different workout. Like, when you're playing football, it's like you can have two stiff dudes just go and hit each other. But in wrestling, you got to be limber. If you're not limber, you're going to go in there and hurt something.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you get fucked up probably.
Yeah, you get messed up. Yeah, 100%.
Did you play football with any guys who wrestled? Do you remember, or did you even know?
No, Ballard didn't have a wrestling team.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
No, they didn't have no wrestling team at Ballard. I don't think I played football with anybody that did any type of wrestling. Maybe on, like, the all-star teams that I played for.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The all-stars. Because
you were all-state.
Yeah.
I bet at those levels you probably
with
did,
guys
maybe
from,
without
like,
knowing.
Bullitt County.
That
like,
makes
those
sense.
Those guys
probably
definitely wrestled and shit like that.
Being all-state for football is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It wasn't nothing, like, super popular. I got a little plaque for it, a little diploma that says, hey, all state, all area, all district, just stuff like that. And that's literally all that ever came from it. I told people in school and they didn't care.
did it help? He was going to pull some hoes with that.
Yeah, I used to think I was going to be so popular. I was like, dude, this is going to make me popular.
No,
groupies?
No, they did not. I always thought about that. Maybe at like a country school, they would care more because like I feel like.
The women, you mean? The females?
Yeah, everybody. I feel like everybody would care more. Like in the country, when you play for a school.
Yeah, if it's a school that has a crazy tradition.
County, it's the only school in the county. So I feel like Friday Night Lights are way bigger. Like everybody's going to those football games. Everybody's going to those basketball games. Like nobody really came to our games at Ballard except for like parents and shit like that. Like
Ballard's more of a basketball school.
Students came and stuff like that, and like even for basketball, it was like students came and were there, but it was never as big as I felt like it should have been. We would have kids literally from our school go to Trinity games on Friday night.
That makes sense.
Because they were more popular. Like they were just more people would be there. So it was like I feel like in a county school where it's like the only school, it would be super popular. It'd be super cool to be all state.
Offensive linemen are pulling some serious pitches in those schools, you think?
Dude, you'll see the big old white country dude, and you'll be like, damn, that dude's got a fine little girlfriend.
Okay. Well, that's guys, funny. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks,
of course. Best of luck to you.
Thank you,
brother.
On Friday, June 19th, 2026, Freedom Hall in Louisville, Kentucky.
Thank you.
Everybody, remember, there's the ticket giveaway. Go comment on Bittersweet Battles Instagram posts. Say MedicareStoreUSA.com. Mention it in the comments and say you went in the drawing for the two tickets. We'll do that June 5th. Alex, Anthony, guys, thanks again. Appreciate you. We'll have another episode of the Kelly Patrick Show out soon. Thank you very much.
Later, guys.
Later.